Well, we're in Psalm 119. Once again, studying the wonderful Word of God. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we're going to begin in verse 89. We are on the Hebrew letter Lamed. And this section of Scripture is quite different from the previous eight verses. And we'll see why and how that all works together tonight. We're going to read these eight verses, verses 89 through 96. And I think you'll enjoy the study of the wonderful Word of God this evening. Let's read together these eight verses for our text this evening. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. What a different tone we have from the psalmist. We get done, and he says things like, "Help thou me," and my soul fainteth, and all these things. And really, the last eight verses were somewhat of a tragedy, and just the heaviness of David and upon his heart. And as he rolls over a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet, he starts out with a wonderful comment and simply says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And that should give you some encouragement, amen? That should give you a little bit of a different tone of how the psalmist is going to approach these next eight verses. And as we look at this word, settled, we see that it is placed, established, determined, composed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, the settled word of God, the placed word of God, the established word of God, the determined word of God, something that we can build a foundation upon. And you know what I like to say as Baptists, that the word of God is the final authority for all matters of faith and practice. Why do we do what we do? That book. Why do we say what we say? That book. Why do we believe the things that we believe? That book. Why do we have church the way we have church? That book. Why do we go out soul winning? That book. Why do we go out and knock on doors and confront people about their eternal soul? That book. Why are we so narrow-minded? That book. One of my mentors used to say that an open mind is a cracked skull. Okay, listen, I'm just telling you. Why do we believe the things that we believe? That book. What about salvation? That book. Baptism? That book. Church membership? That book. It just goes, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What more do you want? Anybody? Nobody. Okay, good. Let's go home. It's the wonderful word of God. And the settled word of God ought to settle the Christian. We should be able to be composed, established, determined in who and what we are forever. There's no doubt. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God said it. That settles it. Game over. I mean, that's it. We're done. We don't need, why do you need something else? Why are you looking for something else? We ought not to. What's the purpose of it? It's done. You know, God wants us to trust Him. He's given us every avenue to trust Him. We talked about that last Sunday, about trust in the Lord and how to trust in the Lord. The Word of God is established. David says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And over in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever. Jesus, when confronted about being the Son of God in Matthew chapter 5, he said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. You understand that Jesus said that he has come to fulfill things, not to end them, but to fulfill them. We know that in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Matthew 24, verses 32 to 35 says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You understand that God and his word are inseparable. Inseparable. You know what I love? What the Bible says? That God cannot lie. Everything he says is truth. God has preserved his word. He's given us his word. His word is settled. It has been given by God, and God means what he says, and he says what he means. Amen? Did you know that the scripture is of no private interpretation? I do not get to decide what I think that God is trying to say. Yeah. This thing about people and the word of God. Well, maybe God's trying to say this. How do you know? Are you God? Wait, I know. You're smarter than God, so you know. I mean, yeah, that's where you're going, right? No. Now, listen, there are many applications to things in the word of God, but only one interpretation. God said what he meant. He meant what he said. And guess what? He said it best. Best. What's one of the things that these Bible version people have to... Oh, well, I think it's better said this way. Well, how do you know it's better said what way or one way or the other way? Last I checked, David said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's not a better way to say it. God has said it the best way. Hey, by the way, isn't God perfect? Doesn't he know more about the English language than you or I know? So don't you think he knows how he wants it to be said? Yes. Yes, I do. You know, God's word is settled. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. As you're reading that, we know 2 Timothy says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You understand that God has given us his word. He wants us to have it. It is settled. Are you there in 1 Peter? Look at verse 18 of chapter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Remember, we heard this in Isaiah. Remember this? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's settled, folks. It's settled. And we have salvation in Christ Jesus because the word of God tells us so. Right? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's not because of what I say or what you say or what I think or what you think. God has said. It's his word. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? We have the word of God. In Acts chapter 1, remember when the people had gathered all in one accord in one place, according to the command given to them to wait for the promise of the Father. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. Then Peter was making a case, and they were going to choose an apostle to replace Judas. But did you notice what he said? That the scripture needed to be fulfilled. He said, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. So you say, well, men wrote the Bible. No. No, they did not. God wrote the word of God. Through men. Through the Holy Spirit of God. We know that this prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy, we already read about the scripture being given by inspiration of God. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, there is much more to study about the settled word of God. This is just, we're just putting a little scratch in the surface here, okay? Just a tiny scratch. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 2? Look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yea, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak with the wisdom, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For he hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to know that this book that God has given to us can be understood by you and I? Not because of our ability, because of the Holy Spirit of God that dwelleth within us. You understand that God has authored this book for us. It is to us. It is for our benefit. In Titus chapter 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Go back to Psalm 119. This opening verse is kind of a good jumping off point to just say that God has given us his word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God is established. The word of God is determined. The word of God has been placed. And God has given us his word. Look at verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You know, the faithfulness of God is above reproach. Not one time in all of history has God ever been unfaithful. Not once. So guess what? To that note, God is faithful. Okay? And listen, I meant to say at the beginning of all this, don't you just love things that are absolute? These first three verses contain absolute things. God's word is absolute. The faithfulness of God is absolute. In other words, there is zero doubt of any of it. Okay? This much. Zero. And yes, I am absolutely sure. Okay? You know what I like to tell people? You say there's no God. Are you absolutely sure? They don't like that. Because people that don't believe in God don't believe in absolutes. Everything is fluid in their lives. We just kind of go with the flow. Okay? Absolute. That means there is zero doubt. You know what I love about mathematics? It's absolute. 2 + 2 = 4. The word is wonderful. Okay? It is. Is. God is. The word of God is, his faithfulness is unto all generations. Absolutes are fantastic. These things are settled. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You know, God loves his people. God loved his people. God will love his people. Don't you love it? Isn't it great? It just is. His faithfulness is unto all generations. God is faithful. He says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Over in Genesis chapter 1, we could read the whole chapter and talk about the establishment of this world. But very simply, with the beginning and the end of chapter 1, it says this: in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face, upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now, if you read in between verse 2 and verse 31, you'll see that God set in order, in a perfect sequence, everything in this world. God established the earth. He set it. He fixed it firmly. He founded it. He ordained it. He enacted it. He ratified it. He confirmed it. God established the earth. And the psalmist says, "Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." It abideth. It's still in existence. Has anybody looked around? The earth is still in existence. Now listen, I'll give you this. It's not what it was in the days of creation. It has deteriorated. Okay? But that's somebody's fault. This guy named Adam decided to make a decision that brought peril to everything around us. Cursed. In Genesis 8:22, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Psalm 8:3 says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." God put these things into place. Set things into motion. And God has established the earth. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods." Psalm 89:11 says, "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them." Psalm 102, verse 25, "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands." Psalm 104, verse 19, "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down." It speaks of these things as animate objects that have a sequence and a thought process. You know, God has anointed these things. He has appointed them. He has established them. He has founded them. God has done this. Remember what God said about the creation that he had created? That it was very good. Very good. We know that God has established the earth. It says here in Psalm 136, verses 5 through 9, "To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever." Proverbs 3 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Is there any question of the absoluteness that God's word is forever settled? Is there any question that God's faithfulness is absolute? And that God has established the earth, setting it in motion, putting it in order. God has done these things. It's an absolute. And isn't this much more encouraging than the verses that David had written before in his despair and his distress? God is absolute. Are you there in Ecclesiastes 1? Look at verse 3. "What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. We have the water cycle. We have air currents here recorded. These things God has done, putting them in order and in motion and establishing the earth. Listen, you understand in studying the planets, how scientists have discovered that this is the only one that works the way it works. It's amazing how this just kind of came about by chance in a big bang. Isn't that amazing? Oh, sorry. It didn't. A designer God, an absolute God, established the earth, and it abideth. You understand that God is faithful. He's faithful to give us his word. He's faithful to give us a place to live and a place to sustain life. God has done these things. In Isaiah 45, it says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Turn over to John chapter 1. We're going to look at the word and what the word did in the beginning with God. And as you turn there, I'm going to read Jeremiah 31 to you. "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea, when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever." Hey, listen, what God has done is done. "And it abideth," the psalmist said, "that the earth has been established, and it abideth." Are you there in John chapter 1? We know, and I mentioned to you the first verse, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You see, back in Genesis it said, "And God said, let there be light." And God formed, and God did this, and God did that. He established this, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Creator. It's absolute. It's absolute. It's trustworthy. It's something you can rest in. It's something you can hang your hat on, if you will. He is true. God's word is true. The earth being established by God is true. The word of God is true. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is true. These things are absolute. And there is no doubt about it. Hey, listen, this ought to be an encouragement to you. Especially if you may be in a time of despair, and it may be in a time of discouragement, as David was in the previous 8 verses. We need a breath of fresh air. This hope of truth and absoluteness in our lives. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Turn back over to Psalm 119. Look in verse 91. You all are doing extremely well tonight. We are right on time. I think we're getting this down. Now look at this. "They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants." Now, this is an interesting statement. The word used at the beginning of this verse is the word they. Let's have a little English lesson. Okay? Everybody okay with this? All right? The word they. Pronoun, right? Everybody okay with pronouns? What do pronouns have? Antecedents, right? The words that takes the place, that the pronoun takes the place of. Everybody okay with our English lesson so far? Or some of you want to leave? Okay. I'm getting a little nervous. All right, now, this happens to be a singular or plural pronoun. All right, plural, okay. So now, this, I've read a few commentaries and studied a little bit about this. A lot of people think that this is just simply talking about the earth and about the heavens and the earth and such and so forth. And I suppose it could be. But why did he say they? He starts out with talking about the Word of God. He continues and mentions the faithfulness of God. And then he does mention the earth and that it abideth. And then he says, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. Didn't God mention that he is Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending? That he's, God is really without time. You understand that? God created time. He's not bound by time. He kind of oversees time. God set these things in order. That's why it can be said, you know, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. All this, God initiated the bounds of time in our habitation. So think about this. If we kind of look at this verse and say, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, could that include the word of God that has been forever settled in heaven? It continues this day according to his ordinances. Could we say that about the faithfulness of God, that it continues this day according to thine ordinances? And we read already many verses that talked about the sun, the moon, the stars, the currents, the wind, the light, all these things, they're continuing this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. You know what I love about things that are absolute? They keep being absolute. The word of God continues to be absolute. The faithfulness of God continues to be absolute. The earth and its establishment and foundations continue. And it is what God created it to be. God has given us something that continues to remain in a state or place, to abide for any time indefinitely, to last, to be durable, to endure, to be permanent. You know, God has given us his word. He is faithful. And he's given us a place to live in the earth, and it abideth to this day, according to the ordinances of God. Because God has established it. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 55. You see, I don't understand all this. This is way too educational for me. All right, way too academic. Well, it's okay. It's okay to be a little academic at times. Amen? Turn over here to Isaiah chapter 55. Look at verse 8. This will help all of you, okay? Because it helps me. Look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Whew. That's good. Right? Because guess what that means? I don't have to understand it. It's called faith. Amen? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know what that is? Continuance. That's what it is. He says, these things continue this day according to thine ordinances. The cycles of this world. The life cycle, the rain cycle, the water cycle, all these things, the winds and all this stuff. It continues as God has ordained it by his ordinances, by how he founded things. His word continues how he established and founded it forever. It's settled. God's word is continuing to prosper to the thing whereto he sent it to prosper. In Jeremiah 33, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if he can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and the Levite, and with the Levites and priests, my ministers. You understand that these things are established. They cannot be broken. That's why he was able to say things like that about his word and about the establishment of the earth and about the faithfulness of God, because they are going to continue according to his ordinances. They are his servants. They are here to serve God. What does the word of God do? It glorifies God. What does the faithfulness of God do? It glorifies God. What is the earth established to do? Glorify God. God receives the glory from these things. They are his servants. In Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6 it says, thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that therein, that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Aren't you glad it's not up to man to preserve the word of God? To preserve the workings of the earth and how it goes? And it's not up to man to preserve the faithfulness of God. It's for God to preserve. It's for God to continue them. It's for God to have them continue. And as they are his servants this day for his purpose. It's God. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. Over in in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're almost done tonight, and as we kind of wrap this up, 2 Peter chapter 3. God cares about us. He wants us to have things that we can set our faith in. It's not blind faith. It's faith in things that are hoped for, things that are not seen. We understand that. But there are things that God has proven to us that are true. God cannot lie. God has promised. God is faithful. God has given. God has established. Are you there in 2 Peter chapter 3? Look at verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Time out. These are people that say no absolutes. Got it? Scoffers. Walking after their own lusts. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Isn't that amazing? How God has established all these things and ordained a beginning and an end of these things. And they're going to continue as the servant of God, as it's supposed to, according to his ordinances, and for the earth until this time when the day of the Lord will come. We know, though, that God's faithfulness will never end. God's word, we understand, is forever settled in heaven, and that too will not end. Aren't you glad? It says that there'll be a new heaven and a new... Oh, interesting how that all works together. Now, we're not going to get into a prophecy conversation tonight. We don't have time for that. But listen, it's amazing how these things have a purpose. And that purpose is God's purpose. They are his servants. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You understand that God is from the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the one that has established the earth. He is the one that has settled his word. He is the one that is faithful unto all generations. And these things continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. You know, this thing of absolutes is a wonderful thing. It's something that we can rest in because God is faithful. You know what, folks? It's the wonderful word of God. It's how God uses his word to comfort us, to give us strength, to give us confidence. Not in us, but in him. Because God is faithful to all generations. He's established the earth, and it abideth. His word is settled in heaven. And all things continue, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. I hope that you desire the word of God more each day. I hope that maybe tomorrow you'll get up and you'll want to read it more. You want to study it more. You want to get into it more. You want to build the foundation of your life upon it more and more and more. Because it is the wonderful word of God. And it's settled.